on an issue. I want to base it around the Mishnah. The Mishnah and the Rambam. The Mishnah is in Pirkei Avos. The Rambam is in Hilchos Talmud Torah. And the issue really, I'm going to discuss it coming from the Mishnah, but the issue is not really an issue of Kailo, as much as it's an issue of not the man's role so much as the woman, or the man and woman's role in marriage and in sustaining the home. If you look at the Mishnah in the second parak in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah discusses Rabbi Gamliel, the Noishu of Yehuda Anasi Ermi, Yofa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Sheyigia Shnei Mishkachas Ovoi. The Chol Torah She'eni Mo Malacha, Seifa B'Teila, the Gereris Ovoi. So the Mishnah says that a person has to have Torah with Derech Eretz. What does Derech Eretz mean? Derech Eretz doesn't mean the common and the vernacular what Derech Eretz means, to have Derech Eretz for someone. Derech Eretz means to work. A person has to work with Yigiyah. Right. A Mishnah later is going to say, Yigiyah kapecha kisoichel ashrecha v'toivloch, ashrecha b'olam hazeh, v'toivloch l'olam haba. That a man has to work. A man should work. And Torah without work is taka, it doesn't last. The person's Torah doesn't last. If you look at the Rambam here in the Pirsha Mishnah, the Rambam says, the Derech Eretz, Ha'oisik v'parnasa v'amru v'gereres avay k'may sh'biyarna v'makam achar v'amru seifay sh'hu melastam es habriyas. The person is going to ultimately end up being melastam es habriyas. And the Rambam himself writes in Yarech Hazaka, the Rambam says, the Rambam is in Perek Gimel, it's a very, very important Rambam. Parag Gimel Halacha Yud. Kol Amesim Es Alibo Shiyasik B'Teirah V'lo Yasim Alokha V'yisparnes Min Hatzdoka Harei Zachilu Les Hashem Es Mechal Hashem U'biza Es HaTeirah V'oz Es HaTeirah. He was Mevazah the Teirah V'chova Mo'er Hadas, and he extinguishes the light of the rule of Teirah V'goram Ra La'atzmai V'notal Chayav Minayel Haba. It's also to be nana from Divrei Torah, meaning not from the learning of Divrei Torah, be nana from the teaching, the learning of the Torah in a financial way. Amru chachamim kol hay kol nana mi Divrei Torah notol chayev mino elam. V'oy tzivu v'amru al tasem haTorah lehisgadol ban, don't make them a crown to make yourself big. V'loy kardoim lachbar behem, and not a shovel to be chayfa with them. V'ayt siva v'amru ahoyves ha-malacha, love malacha. Usnas ha-rabbanas, and hate the rabbanas. I don't know if I love that malacha, but the rabbanas is tough. V'chol Torah she'eni ma-malacha, soifa v'teila, v'gereris avay. Rambam's bringing this Mishnah. V'soif adam zeshi emelastam es agrees. There's a statement. The Rambam himself, let me read a little bit in the Rambam. It's kedai to the revelation of this Rambam. Ma'ilu gedolahi l'mishahu misparnes mimaisi yodav. It's a gewaldic ma'ilu that the person works himself. U'midus chasidim arishayim. It's u'midus chasidim. U'bazeh zoicha l'chol kovayt v'toyve sheba olam hazeh ulo olam haba. Shurema yigia kapecha kisoch l'ashrecha v'toyve l'ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'toyve l'ashrecha b'olam haba. And the Rambam continues on. The Rambam says that a person has to be Ma'ase Nefesh for Torah. And then the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that a person should set up his day. The Shulchan Aruch discusses the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Mem Vav in Yerideya. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person should work for 3 hours. and he should learn for 9 hours a day. It's far from the Shitas HaRambam. That's how a person should set up his life. So I'd like to discuss, based on this, and I really don't want to discuss, I'll, the ideal situation is what the Rambam is putting in, setting up. Okay? Now, mind you, that the Rambam is writing the Sefer for every man. He's not writing a Sefer only for Talmidei Chachamim. But I'd like to explain where Kohel comes from. And then I'd like to discuss the woman's role in Kohel, and really the woman's role with Chol in the home. Okay? Because the truth is, in today's day and age, it used to be, when I was going out, maybe before I was going out, it used to be that people, you know, people were, you know, I think they did, there was a presidential election. It was a president, I forgot which president it is, I'm having a senior moment. But his mantra, his advertising campaign was a car in every garage, a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. Right? I remember that when I was getting married, around that time, Business Week, my father wrote an article. I remember it was a front page article. And the front cover was a half a chicken in the pot and a half a car in the garage. Okay? So people's budgets became strained. Right? People's budget became strained. And the truth is, it wasn't only the Kotel family that the wife had to go out and work, but it was everybody's family. Kemat, most people, in order to make ends meet, it's very, very difficult to make ends meet. So, the ideal situation, clearly from the Rambam, is that a man should not be supported by anyone else. He should be supporting himself. Indeed, the fact is, everybody's been to a chasana, and they've seen ksubas being read under the chuppah. And the ksuba under the chuppah, right, in no way, no place, does it say in the ksuba that the woman is going to support the man. It says the man is going to support his wife. So the truth is, we have to b'chol understand how most chasanas in this day and age, it's not a sham reading Yitzhubah. What does that mean? Okay, why is it not a sham? Now, let me explain to you that this Rambam is not the ultimate decision in this halacha. Now, the truth is that really this goes back to a way, an older machlokes. It's a machlokes for Bishmol and Rishim Bayechav. Rabbi Shmuel held that a person has to live Torah in Derech Eretz. Rishim Bayechai said, Rechai b'tavorech v'yasik v'torah. Can't be to do that. So Rishim Bayechai held a person has to be Yasik in Torah, and Avoida, and not work. And the Eretz will take him. And that's what happened to Rishim Bayechai. Rishim Bayechai, the whole Maisa, the whole thing, the whole line, Boimer, right? Parshat, the Eretz made it happen for him. But the Gemara tells a little bit of a tale, the Gemara in Brachos, and the Gemara says, Har be'yosek Rabbi Shmuel, ve'also be'adam. Many did like Rabbi Shmuel, the Torah in their inheritance, and they were very successful. Har be'yosek Rabbi Shimon be'echoi, ve'lo also be'adam. They weren't successful. Says Rabbi Chaim Volozhinov, Chaim Volozhinov tells us that the operative word of this Gemara is harbe. What does harbe mean? Harbe means for the masses. For the masses of people, okay, it's not the right way of life. The right way of life is Torah and Derech Eretz. But for Yechidei Skula, Fakert, they could makash make themselves into Rav Shimon Bayechai. Now, the Kesef Mishnah on this Rambam, it's a very long Kesef Mishnah. But at the end of the day, the Kesef Mishnah says that even though the Rambam says what the Rambam says, but it was decided many generations ago that Torah would be forgotten in Klal Yisrael if everybody would do 9 hours of learning and 3 hours of work. So there have to be those, I would call them Yechidei Skula, there have to be those Rishim Bayechais that live there. And they live that way, and they are Kulei Torah. They are Isaac and Torah Kulei. But clearly it is not for the masses. Okay? Now, who is Rav Shimon Bayechai? Who is that person? So I remember asking my Rebbeim, because I struggled with the issue myself. on my own in my own life. And what my Rebbe told me is that everybody could decide that he's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, that he wants to be like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Has to be earnest, has to be honest, a person can't be lazy. Right? Right? A person has to realize that he's taking on a great undertaking and he's takyarit. But shalaita tarikashtakatas, so then anachanami, a person's allowed to do that. Now, mind you, this is not an unfair thing for a wife, because the wife obviously is accepting it. Right? But what is the ideal? The ideal situation, clearly, okay, and we talk about this ksuba. The ideal situation, when we read the ksuba for someone who's going to be in Kohl, I went to Kohl for 8.5 years. For 8.5 years. I never took a check from my parents or my in-laws. Never took a regular check. I mean, I'm sure they gave me, they certainly did give me money things. Nothing that was ever demanded of them, and nothing that was ever promised. No, there was never any deal or anything like that. I don't know how many shidduchim go on like that in this day and age. Most don't. But I could tell you that at my chuppah, right? I mean, I knew I was getting a $500 kollel check. That's about it. So what was my ksuba? What do you say?
So now you're
going
nervous
about
yourself.
No, I didn't. Yeah. No, I was nervous before. I wasn't nervous. Not about money. I wasn't nervous. What the ksuba says is that it's the man's responsibility. It is the man's responsibility. It is a man's responsibility to finance his house. And if his wife has to work, what she's doing is she's sacrificing for a greater good. But she is not, he's not shirking his responsibilities, obviously, unless he is, but the idea is not that he's shirking his responsibility, but that there's a greater good. Where is that greater good? Let's understand something. If you look at the Gemara says, the Gemara of Tzaita, we just had in the Daf Yomi, the Chofal, Shabbos is Daf, where the Gemara says, Nashim v'maikah zachin, what are women zaycha? With what are women zaycha? How are they zaycha? They can't learn Torah. Mishnah says if you learn to teach it for a woman, Torah, it's tiflus. But they're certainly not mechuyev in Talmud Torah. And they ain't even suva v'oiser, right? So the Gemara says, what are they zaycha? What are they zaycha? So the Gemara says that they bring their children to the, they makir and umas them with their children, which Rashi says they bring their children to Teref, they bring their children to the Beis Sefer. And they're menachim, they wait for their husbands to come home from this mitzvah. And what does that mean, the way for the husbands to come over? So Pashup Shati say, they go, they go to a shir at night. They do not. They go to learn with a chavrusa. They go, Rashi says, they wait for them to come from a different city. The men used to go mamish to a different city. There were women, whoever that says that. So there's chus and taira, right? The Gemara says that, what's the question of my kozachin? The Gemara Ksuba says, how does a person zarcha to olam haba? The Gemara says, tal taira mechayayim. Tal taira is mechayim. It's a tal of taira. So b'noshim b'may kozachin. They have a chelik in Torah. This is their chelik in Torah. Their chelik in the Torah is their children's chelik in Torah, their husband's chelik in Torah. So there is certainly an overriding good in that woman's role. But what I really want to talk about is that when we say that it's the man's role for parnasa. Now, mind you, by the way, before I say anything, if a man is, let's say, not being a parnasa, or a man is not making it without his wife supplementing his income, and his wife has to really sacrifice. I'm going to say what she's sacrificing in a moment. But a man going to work is also sacrificing from what's he sacrificing? And not only a man going to work. From the times of the Gemara, before the Gemara, Bishua ben Gamla, right? The truth is that a man's responsibility to his home is not only to be mefarnes his home. A man's responsibility is to be melamed Torah to his children. Is to teach his children. Right? So the situation that we live in, it's not an ideal situation from the man's perspective either. Let's talk about a regular working guy. Regular working guy is making money. His wife's not working. His wife's home. Right? He really is supposed to be teaching his son Torah. He's supposed to be teaching every one of his children Torah. Male children Torah. But, and if you look, there's a beautiful, beautiful maimon. If a person can read Yiddish, it's one of the most beautiful maimonim in Yiddish written by Rav Huttman, the last maimon of Shavuos. It's written in Yiddish. It was given at the Torah Masorah Convention, where he spoke to Malamdin. And he spoke about the role of Malamdim, and he explained that Malamdim are not just teaching Torah. Malamdim are doing the father's job. They're bimkoim the father. So if you think about it, when a person sends his child to yeshiva, what he's doing is not, that's not his chiyuv. His chiyuv is not sent to yeshiva. His chiyuv is to teach Torah. He's choosing yeshiva to fulfill the chiyuv and let them claim him. And a person, people make take great painstaking effort to choose the right yeshiva, the right malamed. Now, some people take that effort because they go to the yeshiva that everybody else wants to go to, which is stupid. The right person has to do what's batim, what's good, what his child, how his child's going to grow. But that's a very important thing. A person has to realize that's really not a lechatchila. Lechatchila is that he should be there, obviously, if he's capable of teaching. But it's his responsibility. And what he's doing is supplanting his role with the Rebbe. Not really. I mean, certainly this is the greatest importance, but it's not.
You wouldn't expect that a father's going to put you to teach his child how to swim or how to do it.
Well, but that's true. You could hire someone for it, but the ideal situation is that the father, the Gemara says like this. Additionally, nobody hired Malamdim. Initially, before the yeshiva system was started, the Gemara Baba Basra says a person who had a father. New Torah. A person who didn't have a father, his father died, forget it. It's over.
They were
total amaratim.
So the fact that you're hiring somebody is not
like... I'm not saying it's a dinu mission. What I'm saying is like this. It's not the ideal situation. If you'll get someone who'll teach him better than you, avad is the ideal situation. But the point is that what you're picking over there is a replacement for the father. That's what you're choosing. You're choosing a replacement, maybe a replacement plus, but what you're choosing is someone to do what you're really supposed to be doing. Okay? I'm not saying you can't be mekayim the mitzvah in the same way. You can.
But that's what... Lechatchila was not like that.
Right.
That wasn't what it is.
It wasn't that way. It was the father was teaching. Now the truth is, until a woman went to work, what was her role? And what is her role? Not what was her role. Because you can't replace that. What is a woman's role? Okay. Now a woman's role is certainly to take her children to yeshiva. That's the vachazafu. Right. A woman's role... is to support a husband emotionally more than, not talking financially, emotionally. And we're talking not a person about a clearly in the month. We're talking about any person. The Nashim Maika Zachin is a pshat. The woman that has no shaykhus, the Torah, unless she has an active role in her children's development to yeshiva, and an active role in her husband, in supporting her husband going to learn. So when her husband's going to learn, by the way, a husband's not only doing it for himself, he's doing it for his wife. Which is a very, very, a person has to realize, he's giving her schusim too. But I wanted to read to you, there's a Ramba, there's a Rabbeinu Yoina, in the Geras HaTshuva, that is fascinating Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina discusses that a woman's role is that she sends her children off to yeshiva, and she's merachim on them when they come home. A fascinating Rabbeinu. So I wanted to discuss this. I once read a piece about this. Matzio Solomon spoke about this Barichas. But if you think about it, and I want to encapsulate this. I hope I'm making myself clear. A child goes to yeshiva. He's in a competitive environment, generally. He has a long day. The truth is, a young child in his teenage years, to sit and actually have the zitzvah to sit for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and actually learn. Go out of bounds a little bit, be reprimanded. Have class upon class, and comes home. Whether the kid is in kindergarten, the kid comes home at 1 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, or 3 o'clock. It's a very long day. What he needs, in truth, a child, from the time he's very young, is in a way almost abused. I don't mean but there's an abuse. It's like they had a very draining day. When they come home, and when I was a kid, they used to call them latchkey children. But the kid has a latchkey. The kid comes into the house alone. And he makes himself his own food. What Rabbi Yonah is saying is that a mother has to be there. Not only in the morning to send her child off, have a good day, with a snack. I remember when I was a kid, my mother used to send me snack in a brown paper bag every day. And she always wrote a note in my bed. She had time, I guess. She used to write a note that how wonderful I was and this and that. I used to believe it after a while. I believed that I was such a terrific kid, you know. And when you come home, the Rebbe Yonah says, the mother's merachem on the child. The mother has to be there, should be there, has to be there. The ideal situation is that he's there for the child. Not only that she's there for doing the laundry and the cooking and the cleaning and all that stuff, but that the child should come home and have his mother be merachem on him, make him milk, coffee, put her arm around him, not stand there and say, "Were you good in class today?" That's the father's role, by the way. I once heard a Gevaldik lament from someone. He said, "It used to be when I sent my kids to yeshiva, so Rebbe used to teach and I used to test the kid. Now I teach the kid and the Rebbe tests the kid." Right? That's what, but the father's there to give a fras. That's why Kabbalah is a Vichav Asimecha. Child wants to be Mechaber his mother more than his father. That's why the father's first. Right? And Ishi my Vav Tiro, who's first? The mother's fear, because the father kid doesn't fear his mother because his mother's soft with him. And his father gives him a patch and he goes to his mother says, "Don't worry, Tatl, the next time you'll be better, you won't get a patch." Right? That doesn't mean that they're having a fight. It doesn't mean that they're not on the same page. That means they're complementing each other. The husband and wife are complementing each other in roles. That's how they raise a child. That's how you raise a child with balance. What I'm trying to say is that a mother's role, really, is to be there to help the child. To help the child to soften the situation. And the child should have a place of refuge to come home to and feel like they're at home. The danger when a woman goes to work, the danger of a chlal when a woman, and by the way, and I'll say this so everybody can hear, women that don't have to go to work, it's a crime. It's a crime if they're not playing this role. If a woman is going to be out with her friends in Cafe K, or to go to every sample sale in Manhattan, or to go shopping here, there, and everywhere, they might have the most beautiful clothing, and they might have wonderful relationships with their friends, and they might have, you know, they might have a beautiful home and beautiful fixtures in their home, and their home is just absolutely perfect because they have cleaning help every single day, every single minute of the day. But their child is suffering immeasurably. That is no suffering to them. And when a woman goes to work, what ends up happening is, if she's working a full day, now she's the abused one. She comes home, she needs some comfort. What happens? It's the kid who came home with a latchkey who needs to comfort her. But that's, he doesn't know to comfort her. And that's a big problem. Roles become very, very undefined. Using help and hired help in that way, a person, I believe, that a person has to be as careful with that. I wouldn't even say as careful, I would say more careful. Just as the father has to check and make sure that his child is learning by the Rebbe, and he chooses the right Rebbe to replace him, a woman has to choose the right cleaning lady, the right hired help. And I must tell you that there are people for $2 an hour. I mean, aside from these surim, I mean, we're talking, there's major halachic issues of yichud kelim with goyim or friar women, or that the kelim become also. There's big shilas. I can't tell you, one of the number one shilas, I would say top five shilas I have as a rav, is the cleaning lady did this and that. We found the milchik of spoon and the fleshik of thing. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. I'll tell you like this. I hold a woman should have all the help she can have. She shouldn't have to do all the cleaning. It's a very stressful life. She shouldn't have to do all the laundry. If she can hire someone to do that, it's wonderful. But she's got to be there for the family. The person has to set the situation up and spend the extra money and have someone to help her in those hours, especially when the kids come home. It's very, very important. And that cannot be replaced. And if it's impossible any other way, a person should spend the extra money, get a firm lady, get a woman who's soft, get a woman who's galassim with the children, who's not going to be uptight with the children, who's not going to, and mind you, by the way, you should know that there are women who can't do it. There are mothers who can't do it. There are mothers who are very high strung, that in a way would be better if they get someone else to help them too. Then they wouldn't be there. But sometimes you have a situation where I've had people come to me. They have people that clean Gevaldik, they wash Gevaldik, they wash everything, and they scream at the kids if the kid's going to mess anything up, because they think that the boss is going to, the woman's going to be upset at them if things are not exactly in order. I could tell you, I came home to my house recently, I've been going in a little more often, I have to take care of them, certain things. So lunchtime, I go home. I flush it out. I said, "Not has to see how a Yiddish babysitter, is feeding my daughter or my daughter." So my daughter was actually sitting on the table eating. Yeah. So the volume said, it wasn't that she knew I was watching. She really didn't know I was watching. It was with such a calm, it was just sweet, it was so love that's worth all the money in the world. And if a person has to, and people that take livings that are not Jewish, it's pashut putting a child at real risk ruchnius, and I must tell you, real risk the gashmius too. I'll tell you two stories of people, stories that I heard. I think I might have told the stories over there. Do you remember the stories? Should I say them anyway? Which one?
Right.
You know the story? I should tell them. Two stories. One story they had, there was a family that had a Polish living. And the Polish living, they showered her with gifts. She was the most wonderful. She was terrific. She helped with the cooking and the cleaning. And they made her a goodbye party. I think they bought her a mink coat when she went back to Poland. She got up at her goodbye party, we're at the airport, and said, "I just want you to know that every Friday I stuck a stick of butter in the challah. Butter, not margarine. Because I hate you, Jews." She should have left. She's not going to play. That was one. Okay? My goat is this, my goat is that, my goat is this. The goat is a goat. And there was another person, this was something I heard from someone who knows the person. He was sitting in a park, on a park bench, listening to two Polish ladies talk. And one Polish lady was lamenting the fact that the child would never go to sleep. He says, "What's the problem? I have a way of putting my kid to sleep. I turn the gas on in the range, in the oven, and I let the gas escape. And I hold the child over the gas for a few minutes. The child falls asleep right away. No problem." People don't realize that their greatest commodity, you know, the Lord Moshe Yikachakol, the only thing we leave in this world, right? That's what the Arizal says, why we put the kittel. Some Sefer says we put the kittel on at the Seder. Why do we put the kittel on at the Seder? So there are many reasons. I think I said this over Shabbos HaShem. He says, because at the end of the day, the only thing a person, the kittel is a part of what a person wears when he dies, when he's dead. The kittel is supposed to remind the person that the only thing he takes with him is Lamanisha to Sapra, is Binful, and then is the Yadatul of Bincha, is what you tell over your children, the children. And people, for a couple of dollars, are willing to. And the truth is, it's a struggle. And I'll say this too. Within the dynamics of relationships, you know, people get used to certain things. And I alluded to this on the Pirkei Avos and Shabbos, where I have to have this, I have to do this, everyone's doing this. This herd mentality of absolute running after stupidity and nothingness, and it creates a very high maintenance situation. It becomes very difficult. So the truth is, in every relationship, a person has to realize that the worst path to ever take in every relationship, not always, but the barometer, is the path of least resistance. As a Rebbe, You let things slide with a bacha. It bothers you, but you let it slide. You don't want to confront it. The worst thing you can do, confront it immediately. Because it's just going to happen again, and it's going to bother you more. As a boss, am I wrong? It's always a thing. And naturally, most people are nice. They don't want to confront the person. They're hoping the person's going to do better and be better, right? What ends up happening is slips and slides. It's the same thing with a marriage. From a wife to a husband and a husband to a wife. A husband has to realize that shalom bayis means what's best for both of them together, what's best for the house. Shalom bayis doesn't mean making everything nice and smooth. Sometimes you got to say, no, it's hard. It's not the right thing. I don't care what everybody else does. That's the wrong thing. The truth is, if a person, and a person has to assess the situation, if it's true or not, if it's correct or not. But if a person, if people would only communicate and actually sit down and really discuss what's best for their family, what's best for them, what's best for their relationship, so people would, ultimately, if people are honest with themselves, people are ultimately going to make, would make a very, very many different decisions. And they would realize that it's packing that soul for it. This is the most important thing. Somebody just told me a very interesting story. He told me over, Chaim Klein told me this, that he spoke to someone. I don't know who the person is. So I'm saying it, I don't know if anybody knows the story, so I don't think I'm being megal or anything. But there's a person who's a very big Rav. I can tell you from which continent the Rav is in. But he has a child who's in one of the yeshivas in Israel that's basically a rehab yeshiva. He's getting back to himself. Why did the child have to do this? Why the child? Why? What happened? This child, at 10 years old, was outside during the Megillah Lane. And the fathers, the Rav in the shul, stopped Megillah Lane for the whole shul, 150 people. Went outside, got his kid, pulled him in by the ear. And now, right here from Megillah Lane. This child was emotionally scarred, not only from that, that's just an indicative story of indication. Kid went off, went to drugs, whatever. So the Rebbe there told him, Chaim told him, that if a person would make a cheshbon, how much money it would cost, just money, forget the anguish and the aggravation, how much money it would cost them, with what neglecting, and this was a case not of neglecting the child, but of being overbearing on the child and pressuring the child, but lately I've gotten a big education in what neglect of children can do. A lot of things that have gone on in the community. A person would realize that spending a couple of extra dollars, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And people are penny wise and pound foolish, and people, listen, the truth is in life, that's what the most, many things are. We look at the moment and we don't realize the big picture. You've got to look at the forest amongst the trees. You can't get stuck on the tree. And a lot of things that we do that we neglect our children, we don't give them the right time, are really things that are immaterial. We can talk about this ad nauseum, but you know, Marshall not answering the phone in the house during supper. Okay? I know you don't take a phone call in the middle of lunch. It's a very frustrating thing. I wish I could be miscalculating myself the same way. But the fact is, there's so many things that children get subliminal messages that they're like number 10 on the totem pole. You know? And if both parents are working, they have to make an extra effort to realize that they have to make the home more comfortable and more and spend more time with their children and sacrifice in other areas. And it's difficult because people are stressed out. They want to go on vacation. They want to go alone. They don't want to take their kids. This thing I spoke about on Shabbos, I think it's such a terrible thing. People not wanting going to go to the country because day camps aren't starting yet. Spend time with the kids, right? Listen, that's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, what we give over to our kids, what we give over to our children, because whatever we do here is a blip on the radar screen. But it's got to be Nimshach and Nimshach and Nimshach like it. So when we talk about that Mishnah, we talk about the Rambam, we realize that the role, and part of the role, by the way, can be stifling to a wife too. You know, at a certain point, a wife does have to get out, right? Which is why a husband has to chip in too. A husband has to realize. And this is another thing, by the way. I was actually at the clothing as a kid, yes, somebody speaking about it. I thought about women in the workplace a little bit. So this is your four careers, right? I said, no, I'm not. And I'll tell you why I think there were women that career women became. You see, there's something of working out of necessity, and then there's something called a career woman, a woman who wants a career. I hold that one of the big things about a career woman is that at the end of the day, she's not appreciated in what she does at home. A woman feels that she's going to cook, she's going to clean, she's going to dish, she's going to that, she's going to take care of the whole house, take care of the kids. And her husband doesn't really give a hoot. Her husband doesn't see that as anything great. I remember that there was a Rav, I think it was Rav Aaron Feldman, who wrote The River Kettle and the Bird. So somebody asked him, he said, I come home and all my wife wants to talk about the diapers. What am I supposed to diapers? Always talk about how many diapers with the baby, with the diapers, with the diapers. He says, start talking about diapers. You know, realize how that your wife is doing a big job. She's taking care of your children. I believe that career women started off from the fact that women felt like nothing. They felt like they would not, it wasn't chashuv for men, what they're doing at home.
Not necessarily the husband's home, it's the community at home.
That's true, but
so how do you motivate a lady to...
Because, well, I mean, listen, how do you motivate a lady to address news? Because the community at large, you don't mean the Jewish community, you mean the world at large.
And to a lesser extent, the Jewish community.
Okay, because that's only infiltration, and to a lesser extent, I mean, how do you motivate a woman to say that she has to address news? How do you motivate... So you have to really... Listen, a person has to realize that his home has to be a place that mirrors Ruchnius, that's striving for Ruchnius, that's striving for those goals. At the end of the day, the answer is the Torah. The Torah has to rule our lives. If a person, and Abayis Namun B'Yisrael means, what does Namun mean? What does it mean, Abayis Namun B'Yisrael? What does it mean, Namun? What does the word Namun mean? Namun means faithful. What does it mean, faithful? What's a faithful house? What's a faithful wife? Faithful wife.
Sometimes the stability of a lady who has a job,
yeah,
even if it means that it'll detract from the care that can be given to children because she's distracted by it,
right,
the same lady without any job could be 10 times worse.
That's right. By the way, as I said, there are some women that are like that.
So that's the right balance.
Well, a person has to know. In other words, if a woman is going to go out of her mind herself, okay, so she's wired a little differently, okay, so that's true. What if, just like if a father's a total amart and he can't teach his child, he has to hire someone else. So this woman, Taka, has to do that. But the child has to get that love, one way or another. Now, for a woman's sanity, she probably will be able to give her child love on a limited basis in that case. What I'm saying is that if her husband realizes how chashuv what his wife is doing, the chashuv of the thing his wife is doing, if that's her role, so he really has to realize to pitch in and give her breathing space and let her go out and do things like that. And the truth is, it is a very big issue, because I think that ruchnius is not something that's stressed as a goal in a home. I think everybody's doing their own thing. And I think women should be going to more shiur. I think men, not only men should be learning, women should be going to shiur. And if a husband should come home, you know, I have a colleague of mine who's a recruiter of mine in Arizona. I call him at night sometimes. I know certain time he's going to be home. Why? Because his wife goes to a shiur and he's home watching the kids. I think that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. His wife's home all day watching the children. She wants to get out. How she gets? She goes to a shiur. Okay, it's not going to sample sales. Okay, we could talk about. We could just ramble on and on. I don't know. I hope this is meaningful.